Today we're going to be talking with Keith Matthews, who is CEO of First Fruits in Yakima, Washington. And we're talking about some issues with apples, with organic versus conventional production, and we're going to touch on genetic engineering of apples and a new apple that has been developed but is not yet in the markets. First, Keith, if you would give me a little bit of background about you and First Fruits.
The owners of our company grew up at very, very modest means in Yakima, Washington. They're in their late 60s, Ralph and Cheryl Brochi. Ralph started with an orchard that was given to him and began to learn the trade, and now 40-some-odd years later operates one of the largest orchards in the country, in fact the largest contiguous orchard that we know of in the United States, meaning that they will grow, pack, and we will sell something in the range of 10,000 semi-truckloads of packed fresh apples literally around the world each year. And 5 years ago, after working with a number of different sales companies, they were firm that they wanted their own sales company because their mission and what they do with their proceeds is quite unique. And so they founded First Fruits Marketing as their sales company. And today I lead a staff of 28 professional folks who each and every week have to find the right kind of business, the right volume of business among U.S., Canadian, Mexican trade, as well as across the world. So we have to sell about 200 semi-truckloads of packed apples a week. And we're not the largest in Washington State, but we are significant.
One of the things that I think is really critical is to talk about your balance of organic and conventional production and how organic production is different from conventional production, primarily with requirements, but there are other things as well.
There certainly are different marketplaces within the U.S. and Canada. The Brochi family has chosen to move about 20% of their production into organic production. Within the major growing districts of Washington State, some districts have difficulty managing bugs that will damage apples, and so they are unable to be organic. Isolation is an important key to that. Part of Brochi Orchards is quite isolated from standard production areas, and so there we can and do raise virtually every variety of apple as an organic product. What that means is, rather than a commercially produced fertilizer, we have to use something that's more natural. Fish residuals are the common fertilizer. We're not able to spray with the same commercial sprays to kill bugs. In order to sell organic apples within the United States under the USDA parameters, there's a very, very extensive list of requirements that you must comply with in order to produce that as an organic product. That includes delivering all of the records for everything that you apply in the orchard, proving that you've not used anything non-organic on the production of that fruit. Many years ago, the growers of this state agreed to put in place at their cost a vast inspection service. Those state and federal employees stand on our packaging lines every day, all day long. And so when we're packing organic apples, the line has to be completely sanitized. We have to remove all the waxing apparatus and put in new waxing apparatus so that there's no potential of contamination.
I wanted to ask you a bit about the genetic engineering. This is an issue that we're finding consumers are becoming more and more aware of and more concerned about. You're an expert in apples, and there is an apple on the market that has been genetically engineered. What is the value of a genetic engineered apple to begin with?
To this point in history, every apple that exists in the world, all the variety that we enjoy, have been created in a natural way. And there's two ways that apples naturally change or mutate. One is you're a farmer, you're walking through your orchard, and there's a branch that is different. Maybe it develops higher color, maybe it develops maturity earlier in the season, maybe it develops better size. As an orchardist, you watch that for a year or two, you continue to notice that there's a difference. You take those apples to a scientist and say, I think this is different. if the scientist agrees with you that there's enough remarkable difference to make it worth developing and selling a new tree, then the nursery will develop the tree and sell the tree. That's a natural mutation. It's called a sport. The other way that apples are developed, the scientist will move natural pollen from one apple onto the natural pistil of a different tree and see if a natural mutation will happen. That's precisely what has happened in the High Color Red Delicious that we grow and sell. Granny Smith happened that way. Actually, Gala apples happened that way. That's also precisely how the Opal apple that we actually own, the marketing and sales rights in the United States, was developed. In Czechoslovakia, a scientist moved pollen from Granny Smith to an apple we don't see here called Topaz. It developed something unique. The developer of that apple sold the rights to a company in the United States to develop trees. We bought the rights to have those trees and to grow that apple. What's unique about Opal apple is it's a very bright yellow, but yet very firm inside. So it's very different from your standard kind of golden delicious. It's got a great flavor. And just as it happens, dance with the apple, when you cut it, it does not brown for a long, long time. There's a little bit of that in the golden delicious, but not as pronounced. With Opal, it simply doesn't brown. The other process that's just now being started is a genetically modified apple where a scientist goes inside and actually tweaks a gene or pulls a gene out in order to change dramatically the result into a new apple. A company in southern British Columbia set out to develop a modified apple. They have done that. They have two. One is an Arctic, it's the brand name, Granny Smith, and it's an Arctic Gala. And the aspect that they were after was to find an apple that would not brown. We don't need that apple. We have natural apples that don't brown. And the only slice of business I can expect that they might have been targeting were sliced apples. Today we have great success with slicing apples. It's a great item, of convenience item to consumers in the United States. But that's the slice of business that I think the Arctic apples are after. But I don't see that there's anything broken in what we're doing now.
In other words, if it isn't broken, don't fix it.
I think it's not broken, so we don't need a fix. Why somebody recently paid $40 million for those Arctic apple patents, I don't know. I don't understand that part of the business.
How long does it take for you to get the Opal, for instance, going from a seed to actually bringing an apple to market? This is not a fast process.
No, it's not. When I started in this business, we commonly planted something like 400 trees per acre. And the distance between the trees meant that the trees had to grow 8 or 10 or 12 years to develop a reasonable amount of production per acre. Over a lot of research, we've found techniques now in systems where it's very common to plant 1,200 to 1,400 trees per acre. Now, that's very expensive because every tree is about $8 to $10 in cost, but the production ramps up rather quickly. So in 3 years, you can get some viable production of apples. In five, you can get virtually 100% of a crop. But still, that farmer is going to place about $25,000 per acre into the ground, invest that, and wait 3 to 4 to 5 years before he has much viable production. So it's a very serious investment these days.
What is it that we need to talk about that I haven't covered? What would you want to add to this?
I think most folks who consume apples and enjoy them, thank goodness that they're there, really have no concept of the professionalism and the detail and the technology that's involved in being a successful apple farmer today. The vast majority of apple farms, whether in Washington or Michigan or New York, are family-owned, family-operated. Now, they may be sizable, but they're still family-owned operations. These people care dramatically about their livelihood and doing things well. So today, in a modern orchard operation, the majority of these people have at least bachelor's degrees in horticulture, sometimes master's degrees, and they're spending wisely, and they're working hard to deliver a good product with great taste to the consumer. Mother Nature throws us curves. We're out there in the weather. Sometimes hail happens. Sometimes we don't have enough rain. This year, Washington State is facing junior water right holders with 50% of the water they need to grow a crop. The people whose farms have been here since the 1900s have full water rights. Those that were planted much later may not have enough water to develop a normal crop this year. So it's a very stressful, out in Mother Nature kind of operation. And bugs are natural. Bugs are going to try to have their dinner before you get yours. So organically or conventionally, we have to find the right ways to manage that crop, to keep the apples clean and whole, so consumers in the U.S. will buy them.
Thank you, Keith. I really appreciate this because I think you've helped us understand where the apples come from, how they are developed and marketed, and a bit about the commitment that apple growers and apple farmers make to the crop and to their consumers. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Thank you.